Alright, we're going to start here on the bottom. Num Bet Amud Bet on the last line. Bamine Rav Kahana Me Rav. Rav Kahana asked Rav this question. It's really a continuation of the sugya that we discussed yesterday, and that is, Yesh Drusa L'Chatul, and Ain Drusa L'Chatul. Does a Chatul have a din of Drusa that can make an animal into a Trefa? If it's clawing of another animal, do we then have to be Choshesh that it made into a Trefa? Or does a Chatul not have that ability, and therefore it will not be a Trefa until Achitina Cave, until it creates a hole or punctures one of the inner organs? Tamalei, aftachul daish drusa. What are you asking me back? Have for? Even a weasel has a din of drusa. So now, next question. Yesh drusa l'chulda, o ein drusa l'chulda. Does a weasel have a din in drusa? Does its lawing have a din that it's mitaref? Or no, it's a regular animal and it can't be mitaref. Tamalei, aftachatul ein drusa. Even a cat doesn't have a din of drusa. So what are you asking me about a weasel for? So then he asked them together. L'chatul u'l'chulda, a cat and a weasel. Yesh lehen drusa, o ein lehen drusa? Tamalei, the chatul yesh drusa, cat does have a din in drusa. The chulda, the weasel, ain't drusa, does not have a din in drusa. The Gemara is going to explain this in 1 second. Tosafot gives 2 explanations for the layout of these questions. The first explanation is that they were not sequential. They were not at the same time. They were in different scenarios, in different instances when they were learning. When they were learning about the cat, he asked about the cat. When they were learning about the chulda, he asked about the chulda. And then, in the end, they were dealing with Gedi'im and Tla'im, and he asked them about the Chulda and the cat together. Each one in its own circumstance. Here, the Gemara brought them together to give us the final or the bottom line. That's one way to learn it, the Tosafot says. The other possibility, Tosafot says, is that it was actually sequential, that these questions were actually asked in a series. And he asked them, as he first asked them about Chatul, yes or no. Then he asked them about Chulda. When you said before that a Chulda does have it, does it mean always? And then he said, well, now you're telling me that a Chatul has it sometimes and a Chulda has it sometimes. So he asked them, both of them, do they have the same din? Is Chulda and the Chatul Shaveh? And then we'll see the answer to that. So Tosafot gives 2 explanations for the series here. Either these were separate incidents, and the Gemara is just bringing them together, or really they were sequential questions, and he explains each one as being built on the previous question. And the Gemara says, V'lo kasha, these 3 differing answers that Rav gave Rav Kahana are actually not problematic. Ha, damarle, af the chulda yesh drusa. Where before Rav said that, why are you asking me about a cat? Even a weasel has a din drusa. That's bilfot. That's when they attack birds. So when it comes to a bird, a weasel and a cat have a din of dores, and therefore they will have a din of being mitaref. They are dores, a bird. Hadamalei af lechatul ein drusa. In the instance where he says even a chatul doesn't have a din of drusa, beimrei rabrevei, we're talking about large ewes, talking about large animals, even in a behema daka, but the larger of the behema dakot, they do have, as Rashi continues to say here, that the idea of drusa is that when the nails go into the animal, and we'll see today, it's when they're removed, that there is eris deposited there. There's some sort of venom deposited there by the animal. Since the animals that we're talking about here, a chatul and a chulda, are smaller animals, the power of their venom is limited. So when you're dealing with the much smaller animals like ofot, their venom will have impact. But when we do very large animals, even behemoth dokot, their venom will not have impact because the animal is just too big for it to have any impact. The final question Rav Kahana posed, and Rav answered that the chulda does not have a drusa, but a chatul does have a drusa. That was a case of gdi'im utla'im, when we're talking about kids and lambs, smallest of the behemoth dakot. So in that middle category, we would differentiate between a chatul, which does have a drusa, and a chulda that does not. And that'll be the build-up here. When we're dealing with the ofot, both of them are dores. When we're dealing with the smallest of the behemoth dakot, a chatul, yes, chulda, no. When we're dealing with bigger animals, neither of them have a din of drusa. So Abaye Rav Ashi, shar ofot me'im, yesh lehem drusa, o ein lehem drusa. Other ofot, other birds that are tamei, do they have a din of drusa or not? Our mission only mentions the nates, mentions the hawk, and that was the standard by which we said that a hawk and bigger is what is a drusa or dores when it comes to the birds or the bird or the fowl category. All the other ofot have a din in drusa. And now the Gemara asks, what about our mission? Drusata nates both a dak, and the hawk is the threshold above which we consider the animal big enough to cause a drusa for smaller birds. So if we have an explicit Mishnah that tells us the threshold, then why are you saying sharofot tmeim when it comes to all the other birds that are tmeim, that they are dores? Gemara says, okay, I'll explain that to you. Drusata nates bitakavate. The nates can attack a bird even its own size. Ve'inach, the other ofotat tmeot, can only bezutrat minahu. They can only do with animals or birds that are smaller than them. Vigadamri, and some state it this way, which is Drusadanates bid the Rabamine. The hawk can even attack birds that are larger than it. Vinach, the other birds that are tmeod, bikavatayu. Only if they are of equal size or lower can they attack them. And therefore, when the Mishnah mentioned about the nates, talking about the nates' ability to exceed a birds of its size, and that would be a unique quality of the nates, but all other ofot tmeod also have this capability of being dores, just not at the level or not to the extent that the nates, the hawk, has. And in addition to that, Tosfot says, we're going to see later on in this Masechta, when it comes to the distinguishing factors that make it a bird, kasher, or tamei, over there we said one of the considerations is that a tamei bird is dores. Any animal that's dores is automatically not kasher. So Tosfot says that the dores we're talking about over there is different than the dores that we're talking about over here. Dores over there is how it gets its food. A dores over here is the issue of its clawing and sinking its claws in that give off venom. Amar Rav Kahana, Mishmei de Rav Simi Barashi. Ein drusa de Shaul. Fox does not have a din in drusa. Ve'ini, vaha ki ato Rav Dimi Amar Ma'ase Vidoras Shual. We have a case where a fox came in, was Dores Rachel, a ewe, by Merchatz Shel Beit Hini, in the bathhouse of Beit Hini. Uva Ma'ase Lefinei Chachamim, and they brought this to get a psak from the Chachamim. Ramu Yesh drusa. They said, Enochanami, that a Shaul, that a fox does have a din in drusa. Amar Rav Safra, hayi chatul hava. They got it confused. It really wasn't a shual. The story's mixed up. It was really a cat. And we already saw before that a cat does have a din in drusa, whereas a fox does not have a din in drusa. Igadamri, Amar Rav Kana, Mishmeder of Simi Barashi, yesh drusa le shual. He made a definitive statement, the opposite. Before he said there was none. Over here in the Igadamri, he's saying there is a din of drusa to a fox. Ini, is that really true? We had this case where a shual was dores a ewe or a young female lamb in merchat shel beit hini. Uba maase lifnei chachamim, and the incident came before the chachamim. And they answered the other way. As again here, the whole story is in the opposite. So here the chachamim say that a shual, a fox, doesn't have a din in drusa. Some Rav Safra also here answers up, Dahu Kelev Hava. The case, you got the case material wrong, that was really a dog. And everybody agrees that a dog doesn't have a din in drusa. So even though there's a machloket, or there might be distinctions within chatol, for a dog, everybody agrees there's no din in drusa. So the case was a case of a dog. And that's why they said there was no drusa over there. But had it been a shual, in Ochanami, it could have been a drusa. Amrav Yosef, Naktinan, ain't drusa the Kelev. And obviously, out of that position, we know that Rav Yosef makes a definitive statement that ain't drusa the kelev. A kelev does not have a din in drusa. If it claws an animal, swipes at an animal, then we have to look and see if it punctured anything. There's no din of it leaving any venom in the other animal. Amar Abaye Naktinan, ain't drusa le biyad. It's only true of the four legs or the four arms of the animal, not the hind legs of the animal. It's only when it's swiping with its fore claw that it makes a difference. Lafuke rego delo comes to exclude the hind legs where it's not the case. Ein drusa lebitziporin, that this drusa only happens through the nails of the claw. Lafuke shein delo comes to exclude through the mouth or through the teeth, as opposed to snakes that use their fangs to deposit the venom. Over here, these animals, if they use their teeth, will not deposit venom. It's only through their claws that they deposit venom. Ein drusa elamidat, a drusa only happens when the animal actively goes and claws the other animal. It has intent, and there is premeditated swiping by the claw, then we have drusa. Lafuke shelo midat delo. But if it didn't intend to, meaning it fell down and landed on another animal and puts its claws in there we don't expect venom to come. Venom has to be something that's premeditated to generate the venom to come through the nails. Ein drusa ela michaim. Something only create a drusa while it's alive. The animal that is being doraced, that's doing the clawing over here, will only be impactful if it is still alive. Lafuke lachar mita delo. It comes to exclude a case where if it's dead, that it doesn't have a din. The Gemara says, Amre hashto shelo midat amarta lo. You said before, if it was unintentional, then even there, it's not a din in drusa. Lachar mita mi boy. You have to tell me after it's dead that it won't be. Of course, that's the ultimate shelo midat. The ultimate shelo midat is that the animal's dead. The lo tzricha the Doris, it actually clawed, upaskua liyodei. And while the claw was still in the other in the animal, they severed the arm of the animal that was being deraced. There was a lion went ahead and dug its claw into the animal. They took a knife, a sword, they cut the paw of the lion off. And now it remains embedded in the animal, but that limb is dead for all intents and purposes. So Mao the Tamer, what I thought, Bahadi de Doris Shade Ziharei, I would have thought that it inserts the venom or deposits the venom when it puts the nails or claws into the animal. Kamashamalon, the conclusion is no, the Bahadi de Sholif Shade Ziharei. The venom is released when it pulls the claw out, not when it places the claw in. So here, where you sliced off the paw while it was still embedded in the animal, we don't have to worry about the ZRA, because the limb is effectively dead at the point when he would have deposited the venom, which is when it would have been taken out. So it's an interesting case here in Tosafot. You look right across, Kamash Malon, Debahade Shalef Shadi ZRA, says, Yesh Toim. There's some people who make a mistake. Lahatra Lishchot, Shanit Shokhev Agabeof. They find a hawk that is sitting on top of a bird. It's got its claws embedded in the bird. So they have their handy helper, the hawk, there holding the bird down for them. And they shech the bird underneath. You know why? Because the hawk didn't remove its claws from the bird. So what do you have to worry about a treifa for now? Because it didn't pull it out. You don't have a problem of treifa. And he Tosa says, Vasur lasot kain. That doesn't work. Shanates rodef acharaof velokdo, because when the hawk is chasing down this bird in order to eat it, makeyu kama pamim, it claws it, it takes swipes at it a number of times, biraglav, vidoris vishalif kama zimim. This might be the second or third time that it's got its claws embedded in this bird. You might not have seen the first two times where it pulled or released the venom by pulling its claw out, but okay, this time it hasn't pulled it out, but it probably has done it a number of times. And therefore, you can't be somech on that to shech the bird underneath, even though the hawk's claws are still embedded at this point in the bird. Okay, Amar Rav Barbuna, Amar Rav, Ari shenichnas leben hashvarim. You have a lion who entered into the ox corral. V'nimtza tziporin begabo shel echad mehen. And we have a nail, a claw of a lion that's stuck in the back of one of the shvarim. Ein choshishim shemi ari dorso. We don't assume, or we are not choshesh, we don't worry about the fact that maybe the lion clawed this shore. My time, why not? Rov arayot dorsim. Most lions are doreis. So then why won't you worry about this? Umiyotan ein dorsim. There's a minority that don't do it. V'cholo doreis, ein utziparno nishmetet. The answer to the question is that a healthy clawing animal does not leave its nails behind. If it was healthy and it was clawing, the nail would not be deposited in the back of this animal. The fact that we find the claw in the back of the animal is an indication that this couldn't have been an animal that was dores. Vizot, hovet ziporen yoshevet lo begabo. So here, since we have the circumstantial evidence that there is a nail there, imor bekoto nitkachech. Let us assume that the ox rubbed up against a wall. And in rubbing up against the wall, there was some sharp object, including maybe the nail of a lion that was there, and that got embedded in the back of the animal. Tosafot has a slightly different reading of this, where he says that the lion was sick, and the ox walked between the lion and the wall. And there wasn't a lot of space in there, and therefore he rubbed up against the lion's paw that was laying there, the sick lion that was laying there, and that's how the tzipor, and that's how this nail got embedded in its back. Where it says, Adrabo. So let us say this. Rob shvarim mitchachachim umiyutam ein mitchachachin. Most oxen rub themselves up against the wall. But there's a minority that don't. Becholam mitchachach ein tziporin yoshevet lo begabo. If you rub your back up against the wall, in all likelihood, you don't end up with a nail deposited in the back, in your back. That's not the way it'll work. You'll end up scratched. You'll end up with things that, you know, can be pulled along or attached to you, but you're not going to end up with a nail embedded in your back. And here, since we have circumstantial evidence, that now we have a nail deposited in the back, imar ari dorso. Let us assume that an ari was clawing at this animal. So, both situations or circumstances are equally probable, or equally improbable. So, uki milta chazke. Now we'll cut everything in its chazaka. Havalei safek drusa. So we'll put everything back to its base, and we'll say that we have a safek drusa over here. We don't know. We just don't know. And You can be moki b'chazkei. Chazkei is that a lion is dores. Chazaka that a shor is mitchachech. So I have no evidence to the fact that which way it would have gone. So I'm left with here with a safek drusa. And Rav says about that, safek drusa is fine. Because Rav l'tameh, Rav is according to his own shita, damar ein choshishin l'safek drusa. We don't worry about it. When there's a safek drusa, we let it go. We don't look into it. We don't take heed of that. Samar Rabbi, lo amar no tziporin. That's only true if there's a nail embedded in the back of the shore. Ava makom tziporin, if there is a nail mark in the back of the animal, then choshishin. So because we said before that a healthy clawing animal would not deposit its nail, would not have left its nail behind. So that's a kind of an indication that there wasn't any clawing dores drisa that went on here. On the other hand, if you have a scratch, you have some sort of clawing sign on the back of the animal without a nail there, that would seem to be indicative of a drisa that took place. Vitziporin nami lo amran elalacha. That's only true, the tziporin, when it was moist. Ava yivesha avdar de mishtamta. So that's only true when it's moist, meaning it's a new nail. It's a new and fresh nail. Then it would not get removed from the claw. And the fact that it's there makes us question whether there was really a drisa or not. On the other hand, if it's a dried out nail, then that is likely to happen. Even a dores, an animal that's dores, would deposit such a nail there or would have left such a nail behind. And therefore, it would be a treifa even in that instance. Lacho. When we're talking about a moist nail, nami lo amran elachado. That's only you find one nail embedded in the back of the animal, because then you can suppose that it's something out of the ordinary. And if an animal was doraced, you wouldn't expect to find a nail left behind. Aval tarte utlat, if you see two or three nails together, then chashina, and then it starts to look like there was a claw left behind and somebody tried to claw this animal, then we start to worry about it. Vehuyu, that's only true, the kaim vidara deslichufe, if it looks like the shape of a claw. And that the nails are distributed in a way that an animal who was dores, who went to claw, would have placed them into the back of this shore, in the back of this ox. So it would be on the back of the animal, deposited in the manner that a dores would have placed his paw or claw into the animal. So Neitmar, this goes back to what we just said before, that Rav amar ein choshishin l'safek drusa. Rav believes that we don't worry about a case of safek drusa. If it's a safek drusa, we let it go, and we don't worry about it. On the other hand, Shmuel amar choshishin l'safek drusa. Shmuel says we do worry about it. We worry about a safek drusa. So you can see over here, the halacha is like Shmuel, even though, in general, Rabbi Shmuel, when it comes to Isurim, the halacha is Kirav. Nevertheless, we're going to see later on in the Gemara that the Gemara seems to indicate that Rav reversed his position and held like Shmuel. The Kuliyama, in a case of safek al, safek lo al, we have a corral of sheep, a corral of oxen, you have a chicken coop. We have a question as to whether the dores went in or not, the lion went in or not. Emaloal, everybody agrees that we just assume it didn't go in. We're not going to make an assumption that there was an attack if we don't know. If we don't know if there's an attack, we assume that it didn't happen. Safek kalba, safek shunra. If we have a choice of the attacker being a dog or a cat, ema kalba, we assume that it was a dog who is not dores, as we saw before. He doesn't have a din of a drusa, and therefore the animals will be mutarim. Al shatik vitov benayu. The lion goes in and sits down peacefully amongst the sheep. So in that case, we have what you call, Rashi says, a peace treaty. There are some animals that like to live together. They're domesticated. And so the animals have come to an agreement that they're going to live happily together. And therefore, if he's sitting nicely and quietly there, Amar Shalma Shavi, they made a peace agreement. We don't have to worry about it. Kata Reshe Dechad Minayu. If he took off the head of one of the animals, then you don't have to worry about any of the other animals there. We assume that he took out all of his aggression on that one animal, and everybody else is kshira. He is roaring. The lion is noim. And they are making noise. They're lowing. As Rashi points out here, that every animal has its own adjective or verb, really, to describe the sounds that they make, the same way that we do in English as well. A dog barks, cat meows, a cow moos. So over here we have for the lion is mave, is nohem, he roars. And for the oxen, they are makarkaran, or they are lowing. Be'ute kamevate ahadodi. They're trying to scare each other. There hasn't been an attack yet, but they're both trying to scare each other, and therefore they're both making noise. Kiplige, this is where the machloket and Rav Shmuel comes up. Diu kashatik. He is silent. The lion or the attacker here is silent. Vinu kamikarkaran. And the intended victims are screaming or calling out. Marsavar maseka avid bahu. The reason they're screaming out here is because something bad happened. There was an attack already. Marsavar machmad bidudehu deka avdon. They're scared. The attack has yet to take place, and they're scared, and they're screaming out or calling out, either to scare the lion away, or out of their own fear of the attack. Amar Amemar. Amemar says, Hilchata choshishin l'safek drusa. The law is that we are choshesh for safek drusa. There shouldn't be a surprise, because Amemar is from the city of Narada, which is where Shmuel was the Rav. So the fact that Amemar paskins like Shmuel is not a surprise here. So I'm a layer of Ashili Amemar. Hi, the Rav, my. So what are you going to do about Rav? You paskin like Shmuel, that's very nice. But do you just ignore what Rav said? So me lo shmili, says I didn't hear what Rav had said. Klomar, lo svirli. I mean, lo shmili means I'm not taking heed of it. I don't consider Rav's position to be a strong position. Viyed bayitim, and some say, hoder bay Rav, the gabe Shmuel. The Rav actually changed his mind and agreed with the position of Shmuel. Da'u, Sarkafa over here, Rashi claims is a basket of birds. Tosafot says it was actually a kan shel ofot. It was actually a nest of birds. Either way, you have a large number of birds that are brought together in a single item, whatever that item that's holding them is. I don't know, Sarkafa, I don't know if it has anything to do with a sarcophagus. The Safeg Jusot. Now, they were attacked. They were attacked by a hawk, and we don't know what happened to them. Da'ata lekamei d'Rav. They brought this basket before Rav to give a psak aloch about the birds. Sadrina lekamei d'Shmuel. He sent it off to Shmuel. He didn't give a psak, and he sent it off to Shmuel. And what did Shmuel do? Chankinhu. He strangled them. Vishadunu ben Aaron. He threw them into the river. V'isakadatcha lo hadar bei. If Rav had not changed his mind and agreed with Shmuel here, then lishrinu. Why wasn't he matter them? Elamai. So what are you going to suggest here? That he was mahader? That he changed his mind? If he's changed his mind, lisrinu, why didn't he give up psak halacha? Why is he sending them over to Shmuel? Rav is older. He is the greater of the two. He should have given up psak over here. Ella, atrei de Shmuel avo. They were in the city of Narada. It was Shmuel city. So if it was Shmuel city, Rav didn't want to give up psak in Shmuel city. Now Rashi brings down two interpretations or two explanations of this Gemara, and you really will come out to significantly different conclusions based on what Rashi says. In the first instance, Rashi says, "Why the atrei de Shmuel havel? It was the city of Shmuel. V'lav orech ara lo orei kamei batrei, but davar shein shavin bo. It's not derech eretz that if you both agree about a certain halacha and you're in the city of Shmuel, that you should give the psak halacha. You defer to the leader of the city. So over here, Rav deferred to Shmuel because Rav and Shmuel both agree here. So Rav had no problem deferring to Shmuel because the outcome would be the same." On the other hand, had Rav disagreed with Shmuel, Rashi suggests over here, that he would have paskin against Shmuel in his city. He wouldn't have let Shmuel be mitaref them and cause Jews a loss of money. Because anytime there's any sense of a chait or a problem, we don't give kavod. Kavod's not important if we're coming off with the wrong psak. So here it's going to cause tremendous loss to people and the wrong psak's going to come about. Rav would have spoken up. The fact that Rav didn't speak up is an indication that he agreed with Shmuel. And the reason he didn't give up psak was because he was in the city of Shmuel and he deferred to Shmuel. Kach shamati. That's what Rashi says. That's the pshat he heard. Vali nira. And then Rashi gives his own pshat. Dochi gasin ela atrei de Shmuel hava umihocha lo tifsha tahadar bei Rav. The opposite conclusion. Don't conclude from this that Rav changed his mind. Delav dorach ara le mishrei ba'atrei milta di'ihu asar. It's the city of Shmuel. Shmuel is Oser. Rav's not going to come into the city and pass on the head there in the middle of Shmuel's city. That's improper etiquette for a person to come in and do that. So Rav withheld from giving psak because it was the city of Shmuel. Not because he necessarily agreed with Shmuel, but because of the etiquette of not passing against Shmuel. According to this second explanation in Rashi, even the head there, you're not allowed to do it. Or even more so, the head there is even more problematic because you're undermining the Morad Atro. Since you're undermining the Morad Atro, we won't let you do that. So the two different explanations of Rashi really have very, very different conclusions. According to the first reason or the first explanation Rashi, if you have a disagreement, even with the Morad Atro, and you're going to be Mati or there's a Nidnut Chait, you should paskin and come out and paskin. Whereas, in the second explanation, if you disagree with the Maharajatra, then you just let the Maharajatra paskin and you keep quiet, because you don't undermine the power or the aloha of the Maharajatra. Now, I'm assuming here it's because Rav is Mekil. Rav is Lakula over here, so that's why he would have been quiet. In this instance, where it was if the opinions had been reversed, I think then Rav would have spoken up, because then there's really a serious issue if he thinks it's a treifa, and Shmuel thinks it's leheter. Although, I could see, even in that case, maybe he would have to hold back if you really believe that this is a serious issue, that when you have a Maharajatra, that you're not to give any psak in front of that undermines the Maharajatra. So now the Gemara wants to know, why lamali lemitchin kinhu? Why did he, Shmuel, have to strangle them first? Lishdinu achi binara. Just throw them into the river as they were. Because mefarchan v'salkan were afraid that they would fly off in the river, and then they would be caught by trappers and then eaten. And the trappers won't know their treifot, and they won't know that they're safek drusot. So we don't want them to go free. So he strangled them, then threw them in the river so that they wouldn't fly away. Lishinu shnei maser chodesh. So let's just wait 12 months. A treifa can't live more than 12 months, so it's obviously according to the one who thinks that that's the case. So they test, we'll do the ultimate test, we'll just wait 12 months, and we'll know which birds are treifot or not treifot. Ate behuli de takalo. This is the problem with doing these type of empirical tests. And you were asking about this a little bit yesterday, Shaul, but some of these tests are problematic because atu behuli de takalo. You have to start keeping around animals that are very possibly treifot. And people are, after 12 months, people don't remember why they kept this around, why they were looking at this. And then we end up with problems. Where says, sell it out to a non-Jew. Israel. The problem is that they'll sell them back to Jews. We don't sell them out to a goy because we don't want the goy then turning around and selling it to a Jew, because we're talking about a live bird here. So just strangle them and throw them into the garbage heap. Why do you have to go out to the river? When it says, why do you have to do anything? Just throw them to the dogs to eat. That he wanted to make a public demonstration about it, taking them out to the river, strangling them and taking them out to the river would make a big scene. And through that big scene, people would come to learn the halacha that safek drusa is problematic. So, bar abzol, there was this duck, David Beir of Ashi, al the bene kanyo. It went into the reeds. Nofak ata ki mamas meis koe. It comes back out of the reeds, and there's blood all over its neck. So it became a masmes koi damaz. His neck is full of blood pouring out. So Amar Rav Ashi, lo amrinan safek kalba, safek shuna. When we said before that if you had a question as to who the attacker was it a dog or a cat, Amar kalba, we just say it's the dog, and we assume there was no drusa over here. So Achanami, in our case, would be the same thing. Safek kanya, safek shuna. Over here, we don't know who attacked the duck. Was the attack done because a cat came? Or was it an altercation with the reeds? He got caught on one of the reeds? And we don't know. Since we don't know, we'll say, Imar Kanya Machio, that he got hit or he got caught on one of the reeds, and that's what caused the damage over here. So anytime we have a safek and there's a plausible explanation or alternative explanation, we will give that and say there is no safek drusa. Amre Bnei Rabbi Chiya. So Bnei Rabbi Chiya said, drusa shamru. Sricha b'dika k'neged b'mayayim. That when we have something that's a drusa, and you want to check, if it's a safek drusa and you want to check it, then you have to check k'neged b'mayayim, but opposite the intestines, I would even say maybe the whole digestive system, the main center of the organs, that's where you need to check for whether it's a drusa or not. Now Rashi reads this question as being, when do you have to do the check? The check is a case here, drusa she'amru. What's the case of drusa? Rashi gives us examples. And it's an explanation. What's that kagon? Safek drusatari. To safek whether it was attacked by a lion or not. Oh, shira'u shadarsa. We know that it was attacked. Ven makom adrisani karbuchutz. And we don't know where it was attacked. So Tosafot automatically jumps on Rashi and says, wait, is Rashi implying here that if we knew for certain where the drisa was, that we couldn't check? And that it would be problematic? And that's v'chein perish harav Rabbi Yitzchak b'Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yitzchak b'Rabbi Meir is the Rivam. Rabbi Meir is Rashi's son-in-law. Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Meir is Rashi's grandson. The brother of the Rabbeinu Tam, the brother of the Rashbam. All of them are Ben Rabbi Meir. So the Rivam says over here, Devadai drusa ein lo bedika. Shpamim shemadim basar ben yochol kaven yafe. It agrees with Rashi, or at least what Tosfos thinks Rashi is saying over here, that there's no way to check an animal that is a vadai drusa. So if it's suffix, then we rely on the fact that maybe you can check it. And Venira, Tosa says, Deyesh b'dika afilu vaday drusa. Tosa says, I think that even if vaday drusa has the ability to be checked, and later way down in the Tosa fold, he mentions that I think that even Rashi thinks that way. Venira shigam b'kutches lo nokat savik drusa, ele mishum da'az terech livdok b'chol makom gaba v'kri savit zida. The only reason there is because keneged b'nei amayim, you have to check everywhere. You have to check over the back and the sides and the underbody, the underbelly of the animal. So that's what it's coming to teach us. By a suffix drusa, where we don't know where it is, you have to do a much more significant check. Whereas if you know where it is, you don't have to do as great a check, even though you still have to do a b'dika, or you can do a b'dika. If you know exactly where the drusa was done, you just have to check that exact location to see if it was daros or not. Whereas if it's a safek, then you're going to have to look all over. And that's why Rashi designated this as being safek, because here we're talking about a case, we have to do a check. Keneged the b'nei me'ayim. Amar Rav Yosef, had b'nei Rabbi Chiya, Yosef says that statement that b'nei Rabbi Chiya just made, kfar pirsha Shmuel. That was already said by Shmuel. D'amar Shmuel mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, drusa shamru, tricha b'dika, keneged b'nei me'ayim. So the drusa that we said requires a b'dika has to be done in the area of the intestine. Boi Ulfa, Ulfa now presents a question. Yesh drusa l'simanim, or ain't drusa l'simanim? Can the simanim be nidrasim? The question really relates to the fact that the simanim are solid or hard, or harder than the internal organs or the softer organs, and therefore maybe there can't be drusa by the simanim. So Amir Reb Zera, hide the Boi Ulfa. So this is this question that Ulfa is raising. Far Pirsha Reb Chanan Bar Rava. Chanan Bar Rava already raised this issue and explained it. Amir Reb Chanan Bar Rava Amar Rav. Drusa shamru tricha b'dika keneged beit achlal klulu. And it says that you must check against the whole cavity of the animal. Vafilu b'simanim. And even the simanim must be checked. So over here you see the checking has to be done in the main area of the cavity of the animal, the center of the animal, which would exclude your chaim, or the hind leg area, as well as the tzavar, the neck. Obviously we're talking about the simanim below that area, but that would be the areas that you don't have to check. Vayofa. Now these that are brought down here are going to be brought down a series of questions that are asked, and Rabbi Zera makes the same statement or a similar type of format that this was said by somebody else already. So by Yilfa, simanim shenidaldalu b'kama, simanim that are pulled out, as Rashi says, ne'akru b'mekmot harbe, they have been severed or pulled out from their natural location in a number of instances or a number of places. Bikama, how much do they have to be out of place, or how much of the simanim have to be out of place in order to be a trefa? This question of Ilfa was already explained or by Rabbi Barchana. He asked the question, he answered it. Amar Rabbi Barchana, Amar Shmuel, simanim shenildal dulu biruban trefa. That it's a rolf. There's your answer to your question. It's biruban, it's a trefa. Rabbi Rav Ami, ha mesmisa mahu. What is the din of a mesmisa? So Amar Rabbi Zera, ha debai Rav Ami, far pesha Rabbi Yehuda. This question of Rav Ami was already asked or explained to Rav Yehuda. Tamar Yehuda Amar Rav, bidrusa. We're talking about a drusa, when it's been clawed, ad shiadim basar keneged b'mnei amayim. It's only until the flesh around the inner parts becomes reddened. Nit masmesa basar, ru'im oto ki'ilu eino. And nit masmesa basar b'makom echad. If the flesh decomposed in one area, ru'im oto ki'ilu eino. It's as if it doesn't exist. What happens if the animal's dores, not keneged achalal? It does the drisa, but it's not keneged achalal, the area that makes it into a trefa. It's in other areas. So what do we do now? Obviously, there's ZRA. According to the Gemara, there's still this venom that's deposited, but it's not as powerful. It's not in a location that it's going to do as much damage. So for instance, if it clawed the leg of the animal, what's the din of this animal now? Is it a trefa or not? So, damar yudam ra, bedrusa, achi adim basar keneged b'nei ma'ayim, nit masmesa basar. If it was attacked somewhere else, Roy Metokile, no, we look at it as if it doesn't exist. Hechidami nit masmes. What's this case of decomposed? Amriuna Breder Vishua, Kosher Ofe Gordo, Mamido al Basar Chai. Anything that if you took it to the vet, if you took it to the veterinarian, he would scrape off the area of that was attacked, the area that was damaged or wounded, he would scrape that away from the leg. So if he would do that, it's Keilo Eno. It's as if it doesn't exist anymore. So if it's in a location or in a limb that would make the animal a trefa was missing, then we look at it as a kilei no, and it would be problematic. Amar Rav Ashi, Kavinim Be Rav Kahano. When we were in the house of Rav Kana, I took him on Hayireya. They brought a Shiloh of it long before us. When you put it down and it sat there, it looked great. Looked like a regular lung. Looked like there was no problem with it. If you picked it up and held it up or stretched it out, then there's the girsa is, I think the alternative girsa, which is on the right under the Ein Mishpat, is that when you picked it up, it basically decomposed and pieces of the lung fell off. So what's the din over here? It looks like a healthy lung when it's sitting, but when you pick it off, like large sections of it or pieces of it fall off. Ritzarifna. We said, Ritzarifna law, we made it into a trefa, mit Ravuna b'reid Rav Yeshua. From this Ravuna b'reid Rav Yeshua that we just mentioned, which is anything nitmas meis, anything that is in a position where it would fall out or come off, you'd scrape it out, it's kilo enos, as if it's not. So see here on the ray, on the lung. When it falls, the pieces are falling off, it's as if keilu eino, it's as if they're not there anymore. If they're not there anymore, reya shechasera, if you have a lung that's missing something, it's a trefa. Rav Nachman amar coat, if we have a needle, a thorn that went into the animal, then it's only problematic, or we only worry about it if the needle or thorn reached into the cavity of the animal. If it's still only embedded in the flesh of the animal, we don't worry about it. We worry if it penetrated through to the chalal, then we worry that it bumped into an organ, it had punctured some organ, then we start to worry about it. Bidrusa, in a case of drusa, mishyadim basar keneged bnei mayim. It's a trefa when there's a reddening of the area or the flesh that is around the intestines or around the digestive system or the middle organs. Rav Zid matni hochi. Zid taught it this way. Bidrusa, when it comes to drusa, mishyadim basar keneged bnei mayim, similar to what we said. Besimanim, when it comes to the simanim, achiyadimu simanim atzmam. Over there, it's only if the simanim themselves became red. So the simanim, which are stronger and harder, there we say that it's only a problem if the venom or the drusa reaches it, if they turn red. They themselves turn red, then we know that they've been poisoned, we know that the venom has reached them, and that venom will end up causing, or the deterioration, decomposition will cause a hole to be there, and therefore it's a trefa. And that's what Ilfad asked before about the din and the simanim. But when it comes to the regular drusa, mishadim basar keneged bnei mayim, it doesn't have to be literally the organ itself. It just has to be the flesh around that organ. If it's red, then it's considered a drusa, because there we're dealing with much finer and softer organs. And therefore, we're choshesh if the needle or the thorn was able to make it through the outer skin of the animal into the cavity, that it caused some damage to the internal organs. Amar a puppy, by Rav Bibi bar Abaye, he had a question. Veshet nikduvato b'mashu. We know that in order for a veshet to be a trefa, it's a single nikiva, any little puncture. Drusato b'mashu. So I understand that if it's attacked by an animal, then even a mashu will be problematic. Just like it's a trefa, there's a puncture in it of a mashu. So to here, the drusato, if it's being clawed, or the venom is being deposited, even a mashu will be problematic. Kane nikuvato b'kisar. A kane, if it's punctured, has to be the size of a coin of an isar in order for it to be a trefa. So drusato bekamo. That drusa, what's the din of the drusa by the kane? The simanim gets hit by this drusa. Does it have a din like a regular kane or the tarfut of a regular kane? Or do we say that over here it has the same din as the veshet? Boter de bayit, after he asked the question, Harder Pashtri answered it for himself. Echadze vechadze b'mashu. So afterwards, echadze vechadze b'mashu. My time, why is it a mashu both by the kane and the veshet? Ziare miklo koloi va'azio. Because the venom, the poison that is deposited by this clawing animal, is sharp and it's fierce, and it causes miklo koloi, it causes burning. It eats up that which is in its path, and ziare miklo koloi va'azio. It has a burning sensation, it spreads and consumes everything in its path. So over here, when we're dealing with the kane, even a mashu is going to be problematic, because a mashu is not going to end up being a mashu. The mashu is going to end up spreading and decomposing. It's going to cause a hole over there that's going to be a significant trefa. And therefore, both of the simanim, if they were nidras, any mashu of blood that's found on them, that was the common thing we said, will be considered a case of drusa, and therefore it will be a trefa. Okay, we'll stop over here.